Christine, thank you for joining me today at Pop Culture Unplugged.
Yeah, thanks for having me back.
It's exciting times. I listened to our interview from last time. It was about 2 years ago, and you've been busy since then too. You've been just grinding away. You haven't stopped.
You know, I don't stop. I'm someone who can't not be busy. I always got my hands in something, doing something. And after this last year and with the strike and everything, I've just been like dredging up old projects, trying to stoke fires, get stuff going.
What's the goal? Do you still want to like behind the scenes, or do you eventually you want to come back on screen? What do you think?
I really love directing. I think because it's a little newer to me. And so I'm itching to do that again, but I never say no to acting. It was my first love. I would always be happy to get in front of a camera and do a little something. I never say never. No, I'm open to both, whatever kind of comes my way, I suppose.
There you go. So, congrats on the podcast, by the way. We're episode two today dropped a little while ago.
Episode two. Yeah.
Yeah, we
Keenan
get
and Lakin give you deja vu.
exciting times. Well, what I remember we talked about this about 2 years ago. You mentioned that you were thinking about doing it, and you finally did it after 2 years.
Yeah. Well, listen, it's difficult because so Stacey came to me. This is a podcast. It's if you don't know, it's hosted by myself and Stacey Keenan. It's a step-by-step rewatch podcast. But the unique thing about it is Stacey's never seen the show. So she is watching the show for the very first time. She never watched one episode of Step by Step. I watched every single episode because I was like a super fan. I was 12 when I got on the show and I was just like so into TGIF. So it was like my life. So she approached me and said, "Hey, I thought this might be really fun. Is this something that would interest you?" And I said, "With you? And I get to just like have more of an appointment to hang out with you more?" Like, yeah, absolutely. I think it would be fun because we have very different takes on our memories. So, but between, she has a job, she's a lawyer, and then I was transitioning to directing. So we were both just busy at different times. And so it took a minute to wrangle it together. And then when we finally got around to recording it, we made appointments to do that. And then it sort of stalemated as we had all this content. We thought, now what? Now what do we do with it? We need an editor. We need a person. We need someone to help. And it really started to come together when I had lunch with my old buddy Stephen Ray Morris, who I just love. He's an amazing podcast producer, very prolific, and just a really nice person. And I sort of mentioned it to him, and his eyes lit up, and we all got together and it was just kind of gravy from there, but it took kind of the right combination of people, I think.
And I believe this is the second TGIF podcast to drop, because now we have Pod Meets World for Boy Meets World, and now we have you.
That's right. I mean, when is
I don't
Perfect
think there's any
Strangers
other
going to get back
ones.
together? I don't.
That'd be a good one to do. I rewatched the series again of that one. That would be a great one to do.
Yeah. Well, and Jody's got How Rude Tannerinos, and that
That's right.
was. Yep. So, we need a Family Matters, we need a Hanging with Mr. Cooper, and we need a Perfect Stranger. So somebody get on
There you go.
that.
From your perspective now, like, what are you hoping the listeners get out of each episode when they tune in every week to listen?
Well, I think a lot of people, if you're rewatching the show now as an adult, or maybe you're watching with your kids, because you already watched it and now you're, finding new content to watch with your kids, I think there's a real nostalgia to it. The other part of it is these are a lot of the things we talk about, and a lot of the behind the scenes things that we remember are stories we've never told before. We know them, we remember them, but we've never had a platform to really talk about what it was like. And what people were really like, and like the nuances of what the day to day was like, or I remember this episode, I remember this storyline, or so I think it's a lot of that. It's also, she and I talk a lot about what it was like to grow up in the 90s before social media. So a lot of the pictures and the BTS that we share are things no one's ever seen because they're all pictures. They were never posted anywhere. Like I have a box of photos that I'm going through every week and like pulling stuff out and marveling at the amount of pictures my mother took. Thank God she captured all of this. So it was just a much simpler time, I think. And it was a very unique experience ex sharing that with somebody in a very similar way. Growing up on television, but yet going back to a real school and being just a regular kid and going through kids that regular kids go through, but somehow also kind of in the limelight. So it was weird, and I think we both sort of speak on that with a bit of perspective now.
Now, are you rewatching each episode too, right before you're about to record? Do you like remember everything?
No, my memory's not that good. I am rewatching them right before we record. Okay. And we take turns kind of recapping. And the funny thing is, sometimes I remember an episode really well. Like if it was like the episode that dropped today was with Jaleel White. And I remember that one really well. But that was also a very core memory for my 12-year-old brain. Getting to do an episode and getting to act with Urkel, you know, I was such a fan. So I remember a lot of the nuance of that week. Other episodes, not so much, probably because I didn't have as much of a critical role in the storyline. And I was probably out at the school, you know, the school trailer with the other kids and goofing off and that kind of a thing. So it's funny to remember though, because sometimes I can remember the punchline before the person says it. And I'm also starting to watch some of the episodes with my kids, who are pretty shady. I mean, they have a lot of opinions. They're like the two old men in, you know, the Muppets. They like to sit there and just comment and be like negative about things and that there's too much kissing and like why those two people keep kissing. And, you know, so they haven't fully appreciated the genius that is Step by Step yet. It's okay.
How many episodes have you recorded so far?
We recorded 22 for the first season. Yeah. So we recorded all of them for the first season already. And I think the other part of that was we were getting into a groove and we wanted to see how it felt and we wanted to listen back and see what we could improve on and what we could change and if we liked the format and, you know, stuff like that. So far so good. I definitely think in season two, we'd like to have more guests on because it's just been the two of us. And depending on where we record season two, maybe we'll do some more video components because we didn't take any video during. This was just solely just us just recording. But the difference is too, like some people do their podcast over Zoom. We actually got in person to do ours, which I think I think it lends to a little bit of a different energy in the room personally.
Are you planning to drop the like those did you record any video doing the you got this season two and drop it on YouTube too?
Yeah, there might be. Yeah, we'll see.
There you go. So like diving through these 22 episodes so far that you've done, did it bring up back any certain memories? You're like, oh my God, I don't remember like this happened. And like now it sticks out to you more?
Yeah. I mean, there was definitely things that when we talked a lot in episode one about the making of the title sequence, because it's so iconic. Everyone remembers the roller coaster, you know, we're all at this like Magic Mountain amusement park, Six Flags. And I remember it very viscerally because it was the first 2 or 3 days on set. So we didn't even know each other. We didn't really know our characters. We hadn't even really rehearsed yet. And yet now we're all pretending to be this like family in this theme park. And we have all these attitudes and like, it was just like so out of body in some ways. But there were things that I forgot about that I didn't know until we were recording that either were told to me like by my mom or, you know, we saw Rich Carell, who was one of our directors. He directed the pilot of Step by Step. He reminded us that we were not allowed to ride the roller coaster because it was a liability.
Yeah.
So instead they had doubles riding the roller coaster. I do remember that because I was definitely disappointed. But what I didn't remember was we all stood in the kitchen set of Step by Step and we, as the kids, all recorded the screaming. So those are our voices. Wow. The going over the thing. We did it in post. We did it in an ADR and I didn't remember doing that, but then he said it and I was like, wait, I think you're right. He's like, I know I'm right. I have a picture of it. And I was like, what? Like, oh my God, blow my mind, you know?
Did you post that picture yet anywhere?
I don't have it. He's going to give it to me though, or he's going to send it to me. Hopefully we'll have him on the pod. Yeah.
That's awesome. So like with Step by Step too, it also holds like a special place in everybody's heart. And then, you know, when they find out that it's available, I think it's available on Hulu for streaming too.
Yeah. Like, well, it was for a very long time. Now I know it's on Max. And then also just found out there's like a complete series DVD box set, which I had no idea even existed. I mean, I know a lot of people don't have DVDs anymore, but we were doing some autograph signings and a couple people had to sign them. And I was shocked and amazed that those actually exist.
So what do you think about the show? Like still continues on, like people still want to go back to watch it. What do you think pulls them back into the '90s? I mean, I'm a huge '90s fan too. We grew up in that era, but like, what do you think pulls us in there?
I think it's this sense. There are some shows that stick out from that era. And I don't know if you can explain exactly what it is, but it's almost like you see yourself in that friend group. in that family. It's like you see yourself as maybe a tangential member of the step-by-step family, or like you wish you were one of the friends, you know, or you like, you know, you feel like family matters, that that whole family could have lived next door, you know? So I think there's something in there that just feels like home. It's like a safe place where you don't have to, it's funny. It's, you know, there's a little bit of like, tension or like a problem that has to get solved, but you know, at the end of the day, these people do love each other and they will figure it out. So it's kind of like comfort food in a way. And I feel like there aren't a lot of shows anymore where we can say that, where we can watch with our parents or watch with our elders or watch with our whole family and not feel like it's just a show for kids, you know? So I feel like it's just, it was another time in television. And I think that's why it just feels so good.
You mentioned earlier about the 90s and the clothes and everything. I was told to ask you, and I wrote it right here because I didn't want to forget, like, where did you guys get all these cool outfits from? That's what they want to know. And do you still have any of them?
You mean that we wore on the show?
Yeah.
Oh, well, we had costumers that did all of the costuming for us. And I don't think that we kept, this was like before actors were really keeping memorabilia and things. Right. And now I think an actor might ask for this or ask for that. And to be clear, like, I wasn't thinking at 12 years old, like, I've got to keep this backwards hat. Like, I just wasn't thinking like that. Now I wish I had it. I wish I had those Air Force Ones I wore. I've been trying to find them. but, you know, as we got older, I mean, there were things I think at the end of the series that I took, but I certainly didn't keep them for nostalgia purposes. I wish I had now. But some of the outfits, some of them I would maybe consider if I had them putting on again today, but I would say most of them are maybe not a look I would want to repeat.
Right. So you mentioned earlier, you know, we had the Boy Meets World, which is Pop Meets World. And we have like the Full House podcast. And then we also had Boy Meets World, Girl Meets World. We had Fuller House from Full House. Have it been talks? Have you guys had talks about maybe trying to do like some kind of thing with Step by Step?
I mean, there have been some rumblings about it. I think it's a little complicated because our show had a couple different producers. It wasn't just Warner Brothers and ABC. It was also this other entity called Lorimar. I won't get into it, but they don't exist anymore. Okay. So if these characters were to come back, I think it would really take a showrunner who had a love of who they are and a real vision for what it could be. And to get the blessing of the Miller Boyette family to go forward and, you know, revisit these characters that they created in a brand new light. But do I think that there's room and space for it? Yeah. And I think that in the 90s, we talked a lot about Step by Step being that bridge to broken families and new kinds of families. You know, a lot of people didn't, there weren't a lot of TV shows that dealt with divorce. Where the kids, it wasn't the Brady Bunch. The kids didn't magically get along. We were, you know, constantly trying to navigate those relationships and to learn how to be a family and learn how to work together. And I think that's all too true today. People live in commune with people who are their chosen families, and people make it work all kinds of ways. And we're not new to the word divorce or separation or, you know, any of that. And I think that there are new avenues we could really explore in much the same way we did in the 90s. And I think people love these characters, you know?
Oh yeah, exactly. And now, like, when you start filming season two of the podcast, is there somebody that you can't wait to have on the show to talk season two and so on?
Oh yeah. I'm real excited. You know, we just had this mini step-by-step reunion with Patrick and Sasha and myself and Stacey. We were doing a memorabilia show a weekend ago, and it was just so fun to be in the same room again. And certainly at 90s Con in a couple weeks, it's going to be most of us all together. Obviously missing Suzanne in a great, great capacity. But I think that, you know, Stacey and I both talked about, all right, well, if people like this and we want to do a season two, you know, we definitely have to ask people on. But I mean, I can't wait to have Patrick on. Yeah. I can't wait to have Rich Carell on. Like, he remembers everything, and he was there behind the scenes. Like, he'll know stuff that we weren't even privy to. I can't wait to see Chris Castile. He and I were super close because we shared a schoolroom together for many, many years. And I dare say we spent more time together in that freaking schoolroom than we did even on set. So we had a lot of inside jokes, and I haven't seen the guy in like 30 years. So I'm stoked. I can't wait to see Brandon Call, like same thing.
Awesome.
So yeah.
You mentioned Suzanne Summers. What's your favorite memory of her with the show and you?
God, I have so many good memories. I have so many good memories. I still can't quite wrap my head around the loss. It's still really hard. You know, when I think about her, and I just can't believe that she's not with us. It's just, she was such a bright light and was so positive and so beautiful and seemed like larger than life in so many ways. But yet when you would be around her, she made you feel like you were the most important person in the room. She was really gracious and really down to earth and just self-deprecating. And she just leveled the playing field. Like, you can be such a big star and you can be so glamorous and like a diva in your own right, but you can also make everybody feel so loved and so taken care of. So, I mean, I have a lot of memories about her. I'll share one small one that, you know, this just meant a lot to me. We always, Stacey and I especially, we love to watch what Suzanne would wear because we were young women and we just thought she was the most glamorous woman we'd ever met and always would be. And so whether she was wearing jeans and cowboy boots and turquoise jewelry, like, we were always like low-key watching her. This was the 90s. So Spice Girls were really big. And I had these big chunky boots like the Spice Girls, and I'd got them on Melrose Avenue. And I thought that was so cool. And she was like, "What are these shoes?" And I said, And I was so like taken aback that she loved my shoes. And so I told her, and I told her where they were, and she ended up getting them, and we like had the same shoes. And it just, I know it sounds really vapid and it sounds really meaningless, but to me, it was like such a compliment from somebody who I just so admired in so many ways. So really, her glamour really, and her, I don't know, her openness just always stick with me.
It's amazing. You mentioned the 90s con. I've been there for the last 2 years since it first started here in the area. Have you heard anything about this, how crazy it gets in 90s con?
Yeah, I've heard some rumors. I've never been, but a couple of people were like, "Oh, get ready. Like, it's loud. It's a dance party. It's high energy. It's a lot of fun." So I'm excited. I mean, sounds like it's going to be kind of like a high school reunion. I know a lot of the people going. So.
Right.
Might even be a few ex-boyfriends there. Who knows?
And what's great is that like people like from one show sometimes always like post pictures with people they haven't seen from other shows in a long time. So it's like a big, huge reunion. That's all you see all over social media those days.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's like a social media dream, you know, getting to like see all your friends and that you haven't seen forever. Yeah, seriously, it's like a high school reunion. So many of us, a lot of people don't know, because we were on shows at the same time, a lot of us would end up at the same events, even if we weren't on the same network, but we would go to like charity events and other things. So a lot of us did know each other.
Are you guys planning to do a Q&A step-by-step?
We are. Yeah, okay. We're going to do a step-by-step panel for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. What's the one thing you're looking forward to for this con?
I think just really getting most of the cast back together. We haven't all done this before. We've never been really in the same room all together since the show ended. So that camaraderie and that joy, I mean, there really is sort of a shorthand. Like when you've been on a cast for that long with people, it doesn't really matter how much time goes by. You know, there's a little bit of that like shorthand. It's like having a best friend that you don't see for 20 years, but then you can pick up like kind of right where you left off. There's that really just comfortable feeling. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm also looking forward to, I think after Suzanne's passing, it was just really timely that this all in some weird way kind of came up. And I think, you know, life is short. Life is short and it's unpredictable. And I think the opportunity for us to get together while we're all here and while we all can, I think is really important. And it's, you never are given that impetus of how important it is until you lose someone you care about.
Have you talked to the other cast members like about doing this con? Like, you know, some of them are not even in the industry anymore. Somebody like Stacy, you mentioned, you know, she's now a lawyer and everything. Or even like, I think Christopher, isn't he a teacher or professor or something?
Yeah, he's a professor,
Yeah,
yeah.
have you talked to them about doing something when they're going to come and do something like this?
Yeah, I mean, it was actually really interesting how it came together because I was approached by Jason Marsden, and he and I have been friendly over the years. He does a lot of different cons, and he had sort of asked me if I'd ever be interested in doing them, and I was always like, "Yeah, sure, I'd love to." And then we started talking about it, and I sort of spoke to somebody that he works with, and then I think because Stacey and I were getting this podcast together, I said to her, "You know, it might be, if we can go to this, it might be really wise because I think we'll be able to promote the podcast and get people out there." So then it was me, Stacey, and Jason. And then the promoter came to me and said, "Hey, we're trying to find a couple people, but we're having trouble." And I said, "Well, I have an old email for Chris. Like we spoke a couple years ago. I could certainly try. I don't know if he's into it." So I kind of wrote an email there, kind of the same thing with Patrick. They had sort of tried through the all the various channels, but of course he and I speak. So I told him like we were going and would he be interested? And especially since, you know, everything that had happened in the fall, like it just might be just a really great time to see each other. And strangely enough, it's over his birthday, so like what better time to celebrate with him? So he said yes, and then I guess Chris said yes. So suddenly it just all started to like come together. And then they asked if I could reach out to Brandon Call, and I just had lost touch. I just didn't have any way to contact him, and I just didn't think he would be interested. And I told them that, and I said, "I could, you know, I'll ask his mom. I'll just let her know, and you know, but I wouldn't get your hopes up." And then the next thing I heard, they had spoken to him, and he was sort of the last one to say yes. So it kind of
Awesome.
just all it was like a yeah, a bunch of dominoes. So
And what's a good way to promote it there too is I noticed that the Boy Meets World area had Will had cards of the podcast with the scanner thing, so you could scan to get the podcast. So you might want to print those out or bring those, so when people get to your table, they grab them.
you're so smart. Already did it.
There you go. See.
Yeah. So when you're there, you got to pick one up from us
That's right.
for
That's
sure.
right. What's next for you now? Any other projects you got coming out or working behind the scenes that you could tell us about?
Yeah. I have a couple things in the works. I mean, you know, the industry is slowly grinding the gears, but it looks like it's going to be a pretty busy spring. I'm directing a short for in conjunction with Fujifilm, which I'm really excited about. And I've got a couple choreography things sort of percolating. I have a script I'm working on with a friend that we're going out to pitch. So that's kind of all like my behind the scenes stuff. And then a bunch of audiobooks lined up. You know, I do a lot of voiceover, and so you can constantly hear my voice. Hopefully, I'm not putting people to sleep these days.
That's awesome. Christina, how can the listeners now and the viewers that tune in and find you on social media keep up with you with everything and of course all your pictures that you've been posting lately?
Yeah, of course. On Instagram, I'm Yo Lakin. I'm at Yo Lakin. And on Facebook, I'm Christine Lakin Verified.
Amazing. Christina, I want to thank you for giving me a few minutes and we got to do it again sooner, not 2 years.
Please. Yes. Great to see you as always.
So.